Hechel Menachem presents A Tale of Two Souls, an ongoing lecture series on the Tanya by Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Jacobson. This is recording number 119 in the series entitled I Am in Love, God My Soul, God My Father. This class was recorded live at Hechel Menachem, Brooklyn, New York, during the winter of 5761.
Good evening. I won't begin with a story, but I'll begin with a saying that the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe once said, that in the olden days, the chassid used to come out from an ice-cold, freezing mikveh, but he would come to shul as a warm Jew, and he would daven with a fire and a flame burning in his soul and in his heart. He says, today, the chassid comes out of a burning hot mikveh, but he comes to shul frozen as ice. And that's what his davening looks like. Chapter 43 of Tanya, that we culminated last week, explores the basic two levels of awe of Hashem, the lower level, Yira Tato, and the higher level, Yira Ilah. In the continuation of the chapter, he explored, though briefly, the two general levels of love that parallel the two above-mentioned levels of awe, Ahava Rabba and Ahavas Olam. Great love or awesome love versus worldly love. The key difference between them was, as explained last week, Ahava Rabba, awesome love, is a love in which the Jew dissolves in ecstasy in the presence of Hashem. For example, this occurs to some people during their life, a person listens to a melody, and you fall in love with the melody. And the melody is playing over and over and over again, and it reaches a certain point where you totally melt away in delight and in ecstasy from the melody. At that moment, you know, you really don't need anything. You don't yearn for anything. You don't pine anything. You're there. You're just celebrating that song or that melody that overwhelms your soul, and you're just ecstatic about it. And you feel like you can live the remainder of your lifetime dissolving in this extraordinary, beautiful song. Sometimes between people there is such a relationship. When you have a truly close and intimate relationship with another human being, there is a situation where you gaze at the beloved one and you just dissolve in ecstasy from that experience. And at that moment, there's no I. There's no eye that's yearning, that's seeking, that it's experiencing a quest or a thirst. The eye dissolved, the eye dissipated. The eye was totally overtaken by enjoying and quelling and melting away in the a very love experience. And this, the Alter Rebbe said, this type of love is a gift. That a Jew should experience this with Hashem, with godliness. It cannot be generated or created by one's own initiative. It's a gift from above. Avas Olam, worldly love, is totally of another category. It's a rational love. It's a love that is caused by the fact that I understood and I became aware of the goodness, of the greatness, of the power, of the beauty, of the depth of a specific thing, and that awareness stimulates and arouses within me or creates or generates a love towards it. I don't become one with that beloved element. There is an element of detachment that's expressed in the very yearning for it, in the very need for it. But I understand that this thing, which is not me, is worthy of love, and that creates a thirst, and it creates a yearning towards that element. In Ava Rabba, there's no thirst anymore. There's no, I understand, that's good. You just melt it. You don't feel the awe, you don't feel even the love of the eye. That's how connected you became with the beloved. And indeed, that's a gift. And even in human relationships, that should occur is a gift. It's when you get a piece of the beloved one in your soul. That's what you need to have. So Hashem has to give you a piece of His fire and place it, so to speak, in your heart. But Ava Soilam is, I'm a human being. And my rationale and intelligence creates a love. It denotes detachment. Not apathy, but a subtle level of detachment. And I yearn to become close. When we deal with godliness, what does Ava Soilam mean? When the Jew meditates and reflects upon the fact that all of the pleasures, everything we love in our life, everything we go crazy about in our world, all the pleasures are really only a crumb of genuine pleasure. Because what is truly pleasurable and what is truly lovely is godliness. So the human being comes to feel that I want the ultimate of pleasures. I want the ultimate in life. I want meaning in life. I want the truth of life, the depth of life, the best of life. And when you recognize that godliness and Hashem is the ultimate of life and the ultimate of all pleasures, therefore, so why settle for a crumb of pleasure when you can have the real thing? When you realize that all pleasures in the world, spiritual and physical and psychological and mental and earthly, all come from Hashem. Why settle for a detail when I can have the entire thing? Furthermore, the Alter Rebbe added, when I realize not only that Hashem is the ultimate of life, is the ultimate pleasure of the pleasures of life, but I realize that the truth of Hashem is truer than the truths of life, He's not only the ultimate of life, He's also truer than life. As in the Alter Rebbe's known metaphor by now, the word that is submerged in the intimate essence of the speaker, all the pleasures of the world are a word. And that itself is nullified in a higher truth, which is truer than any pleasure in life can ever give me. So what this compels the person is that my faculty of love should strip itself from all of its expressions and gravitate towards one entity and one entity only. Bilti la Hashem levada, in the Alter Rebbe's words, only to Hashem. There's a very moving story. The Alter Rebbe, in the early years of his leadership, once visited a city in Lithuania called Shklov. Now, Shklov was one of the fortresses of the opposition to Chassidim and to Chassidus, and naturally to the Alter Rebbe, who was, can be said, the chief spokesman of Chassidus of his day. And essentially, the Tanya was the exclusive work that was authored during that time, that in a systematic way presented what does Chassidus have to say. The Alter Rebbe went into the largest Beis Medrash in Shklov, and he went up onto the bima, and he gave a clap on the bima, a knock on the bima. Now the Alter Rebbe, as we know, would always communicate through a melody. The Alter Rebbe conversed through a melody. He always spoke with a niggun. And the Alter Rebbe said these words and in the following melody. Tamuru ki toiv havaya farzucht vetirze naz dereibish der is gut. Quoting the Pasuk in Tehillim, David HaMelech says, taste and see that Hashem is good. The Alter Rebbe said, "Farzuch taste v'terzen, you will come to see as the Rebishter is good." How do we know the exact melody in which he said it? Purim 1958, the Lubavitcher Rebbe repeated the story, and he repeated the story singing this melody in the name of the Alter Rebbe. And tens and tens of the greatest young scholars of Shklov ran after the Alter Rebbe and formed became some of the chief disciples and chassidim of the Alter Rebbe. So when a person tastes what godliness is, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, he comes to see that it's good. Now this can be ultimately defined as a rational love, and as Avos Olam, a worldly love. A love that comes from the world, that is evoked by contemplating the true nature of life and of the world, and it parallels Yirat HaTorah, the lower level of awe. Ava Rabba, in which man's identity is totally dissolved in ecstasy and he becomes transparent, is a gift from above that doesn't come from his mind, it comes from Hashem, from godliness, and it parallels Yiri La, the higher level of awe, in which the Jew is totally dissolved in fear. The Alter Rebbe was very, very close to the holy Reb Aaron of Karlin. Reb Aaron Karliner was one of the greatest disciples of the Maggid, is known as Reb Aaron HaGadol, Reb Aaron the Great. And the Alter Rebbe admired him very, very deeply. Reb Aaron Karliner died at a very young age, and I think at the age of 36, still in the lifetime of the Maggid. There's a whole story around it, the circumstances of his passing. But the Alter Rebbe once described Reb Aaron Karliner to his chassidim. He said, let me describe to you Reb Aaron's nature of Yiras Hashem, of awe of Hashem. He says, imagine you're standing and you're about to be shot to death. And you're the target and you're tied to the wall. And the man holding the gun is facing it on your face, heaven forbid. And he pulls the trigger and the bullet is about to leave. You know, that moment of fear. He says, that was Reb Aaron Karliner's level of Yiras Hashem. He says, and this was when Reb Aaron HaGadol was on a lower level. This was, in the Alter Rebbe's words, his Yirah B'Bchinas Katnos. This was his lower quality of awe. And when Reb Aaron was B'Bchinas Gadlos, when he was his true self, then that level of yira I can't even describe. Lav kol moicha savodna, your minds will not comprehend it, will not conceive it. Now, based on the explanation in chapter 43, one can get some insight into what yira lies, which contrasts in love, Ahava Rabba, what Ahava Rabba is in love, yira lies in awe and fear. And now we continue with chapter 44, Perek Mem Dalet. This is on page 124. Vihine.
An example of the love of Ahava Rabba.
Yeah. Avir Rabba is a gift. And it's a gift after somebody has worked and worked very, very deeply. Avir Rabba is a gift. And even as I mentioned, in human relationships, that one should experience such a type of relationship with his or her spouse, or with a very close friend, or a Rebbe and a Chassid, where the love is awesomely deep, it's a gift. Avasalam is not a gift. Avasalam is generated by my mind, by my identity, by my meditation, by my reflection. If it's sincere, if it's mature, it produces an avasalam. It's called an avasichlis later in Tanya, in this chapter. A rational love, an intellectual love, a cognitive love. Pedek Memdal, chapter 44. Vihine now, kol madregas ava mibez madregas elu. Each of these two grades of love, each level of these two levels of love, ava rabav ava soilam, the great love and the worldly love, nechlekes lekama b'chinoisa madregas la'ein ketz, can be subdivided into limitless shades and gradations. Ava Rabba and Ava Soilam don't come in two shapes. They come in limitless shapes and colors and types. Ava Rabba and Ava Soilam each encompasses an infinite spectrum of loves. Kol chad l'fum shiura delay, in each individual according to his capacity. As the holy Zayar teaches us on the verse, which is a verse in the final chapter of Mishlei of Proverbs, chapter 41. In the famous chapter of Eishes Chayil Miyimtze, dedicated to a woman of valor that we recite Friday night before the Kiddush, Shloima Melech says, Noida Basharim Baila Bishiftoim Ziknei Eretz, which literally means that thanks to her, thanks to his woman of valor, her husband stands out as well dressed and well groomed when he sits among the elders of the land. Noida Basharim Baila, her husband is known in the gates when he sits with the elders of the land, thanks to her care, her special care of him. But the Zohar in Parshas Vayera presents the deeper mystical spiritual interpretation. Dakut Shabrichu, Bailo, her husband, is metaphoric of Hashem. As we know, the entire Song of Songs Shir Hashirim, authored by Shlomo HaMelech, is based on the fact that man and woman here reflect the cosmic man and woman, which is Hashem and the Jewish people. Shlomo HaMelech uses the imagery and the passion existing between physical man and woman as a metaphor for the passion and love between Hashem and Israel. Zog de Zayar, de iyu isyad aviz dabek, l'chol chad, l'fuma de meshayir b'liboy v'chuli. That he, the husband, her husband, makes himself known and attaches himself to everyone according to the extent which one measures in one's heart. Which means, Noida basha'orim baila, her husband, which means Hashem, becomes Noida, becomes known and attached and experienced basha'orim through various measures, There is no one way in which her husband becomes known and experienced and felt and impressed within the Jewish heart. Noida Baila is by Sha'arim. Sha'arim means gates, but Sha'arim also comes from the word Shi'ur. In various measures, in various shapes, in various levels, in various gradations. Which is a foundational message that Alter Rebbe teaches us here in Tanya. You know, sometimes you look at another Jew and you see how another Jew serves Hashem. And he or she seems inspired, motivated, stimulated. And either we become jealous or we begin yearning. I want to be like that person. You know, I want to feel what that person feels. I want to experience that spirituality the other person experiences. So the Zohar says, no. Noida basha'arim baila. Hashem becomes known to every single person in a different way. Because Hashem has to be personal. Hashem has to become intimate. And I am not you. And you are not he. You have to discover your relationship with Hashem. And your relationship is nobody else's relationship. There's no such a thing that Hashem is experienced by two Jews in the same way. If my God is your God, it means that I don't have a God. Because I'm not you. It means he's not personal. There's no intimate relationship. Baila has to be Noida Bashar. There was a famous Chabad Chassid, his name was Reb Michal Bliner. He used to cry, he would say, he was paraphrasing a similar statement that was once made by Reb Zusha. You know, he said, if they're going to ask me why I never experienced love to Hashem like Avraham Avinu, I'll say because I didn't have the soul of Avraham Avinu. But if they ask me why I never experienced love like Michal can experience, his name was Michal Der Alter, they called him, then I won't have what to answer. Now, in fact, this Zohar the Alter Rebbe quoted in the introduction to the entire Tanya, and he cited it as a reason for his reluctance to write the Tanya. He said, real Yiddishkeit is a personal journey. And a book can by no means be a personal journey. And Alter Rebbe has to go a long way in his introduction to promise the reader that you will be able to find yourself in the Sefer. But the key is to find yourself, to find your relationship. And your relationship cannot be anybody else's relationship because your heart is your heart and your mind is your mind and your life is your life. And what Hashem means to me, He cannot mean to you. And what He means to you, He can never mean to me. So the Alter Rebbe says, Ava Rabba and Ava Salem are two categories, but they're two categories that encompass infinite shades and infinite shapes. And gradations and ranks. Every person according to his measure, to his capacity, to his identity. So Avos Olam for one Jew means something else than what it means to another Jew. And this is the reason that fear and love of Hashem are defined as the secret things known to Hashem our God. While the Torah and the mitzvahs are defined as those things which are revealed to us and to our children to do. Quoting here the pasuk in Parshas Nitzavim, where Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Jewish people that the concealed things are reserved for Hashem to know, but the revealed things are reserved to us and our children to know. Literally, the interpretation is he's dealing with sins, that the concealed sins Hashem will take care of, but the revealed sins that exist within a community, the Jewish community is responsible for. But the deeper spiritual, interpretation is, Ki teira acha so mishpat echad lekolanu. We all have one Torah and one law, b'kiyum kol ha-Torah mitzvahs b'pchinas ma'is, insofar as the fulfillment of all the Torah and mitzvahs and actual performance is concerned. Masha'enkin b'dechilo rechimu. It's otherwise when it comes to awe and love, shehem l'fi hadas es Hashem shebemayach v'leiv, which vary according to the knowledge of Hashem in one's mind and one's heart. K'nisker leil has been explained earlier in chapter 42. There's two dimensions to Yiddishkeit. There is that dimension which is Hanigla Islanu Levanenu, which is revealed for everyone to see and observe, and that's Torah mitzvahs. Every single mitzvah articulated in the Torah, as the Alter Rebbe says, Torah achas u'mishpat achad l'kolanu. There's one Torah and there's one law for all Jews in an identical way. Here you have an objective you're dealing with objective entities and you have an objective way in which to quantify it, in which to qualify it, and so on and so forth. But there's another dimension of Yiddishkeit. The spiritual experience. The emotional dimension. Not the actual performance of Torah and mitzvahs of halacha. But one's level of love, one's level of awe, one's level of personal identification and experience, and struggles with to attain love and awe, this is personal and this is concealed. Nobody can really know what is going on in the other person's heart. Because nobody, we can listen to other people, we can try to understand them, but when somebody says, I'm in pain or I'm in love, do we really know what their pain looks like? Or what their pain feels like? Even when somebody says, this tastes good, can I ever experience what you mean when you say this tastes good? Or this is beautiful, or this is delightful? No. It's a very subjective experience, and it's a personal experience. It's not objective. This is anistaris l'Hashem alakeinu. This is the personal relationship between man and Hashem. This is dependent on every person's mind and every person's heart. Everybody has a different type of mind, a different type of appreciation. And every person has a different type of heart. And nobody can experience what another person has in his heart. There's a Hasidic interpretation on a pasuk in Tehillim, Kuf Lamed Hey, David HaMelech says, we say it Shabbos morning, Ani Yadayti Kigadol Hashem V'Adineinu Mekal Elokim. I know that Hashem is great and our Master is greater than all deities. So literally, the emphasis in the verses, you know, I know that Hashem is great. I came to discover that Hashem is great. The Hasidic interpretation, Ani Yadayti Kigadol Hashem. It's only I who know that Hashem is great. Because the way in which I appreciate Hashem's truth and Hashem's greatness, only I can appreciate it. It's only Ani who really Yadayti Kigadol Hashem. What you know about Kigadol Hashem is a different Kigadol Hashem. Because Noida Basha'arim Baila. Baila, her husband, becomes attached, connects himself, every person according to his experience. And that's why when we get up in the morning and we try to daven, or we try to learn, or we try to somehow feel Hashem, it necessitates a relationship that is contingent and is connected with my unique struggles and my unique temptations and my unique cravings, healthy and unhealthy. And you don't have to look elsewhere, and there's no need to mimic anybody and to copy somebody else and to attain what somebody else attained. Hashem comes to you in your shape. And that's what's expected from you. Ava Rab in your own style, and Ava Solem in your own style. Custom made to who you are. And thus is what means Avodas Hashem, spiritual service of Hashem.
No.
No, he says everybody could develop a relationship, but the type of the relationship, that is very individualistic. So we talk about the need for... Yes. Atzilus, he said in chapter 39, is reserved for unique souls. A Briya Yitzira is something that's... Yeah. No, everybody's love is a different... When I say I love and you say you love, I love, it's a different love. Because my mind is different and your mind is different and our hearts are different. Yes, yeah. Yes. He said in Ava Rab and Ava Salem themselves, within these two categories, there are limitless gradations. But it's within those categories. Yes. No. Torah, mitzvahs, halacha, shulchan aruch, Jewish law, that's identical. Yeah. Practically, every single Jew can use the same pair of tefillin theoretically. You could take the same pair of tefillin that Moshe Rabbeinu wore and place it on every Jew and they will observe the mitzvah of tefillin par excellence. But if you take the same pair of love that one Jew wears and you place it on another Jew, it's not good for him. It's not tailor made for him. Either it's two of a large suit or two of a small suit. Vahafta, you're saying, you should love. Yes. Yeah. That's a very good question. You want to know if the experience at Sinai was identical or was it individualized? I think that at Sinai, both elements were communicated to the Jewish people. And one element was absolutely objectively identical, and another element was individualistic. There was the Hanigleis of Sinai and there was the Hanistaris of Sinai. There are those elements that everybody relate to in the same fashion. When the halacha says that tefillin have to be black, black means one thing for everybody. Not necessarily, but similar to everybody. Yeah.
Kind of personal avoidance.
Right.
It's different.
Yes.
Each person has to find that one himself.
Yes. However, achas hiyava haklula mikol pchinus madregis avarabba vavasoilam. However, there is one singular love which incorporates something of all the distinctions and all the gradations of both Avarabba and Avasoilam. So Avarabba and Avasoilam come in infinite shapes, but there's one type of love that incorporates all gradations of Avarabba and Avasoilam, something of all of them. Vihi shava l'chol nefesh miYisrael, in response to your question, and this love is found equally in every Jewish soul. In fact, it's our inheritance from our fathers, our forefathers. Which doesn't mean it's necessarily palpable and apparent and felt. But what it means is that it's embedded within the soul and the psyche of the Jew. And each Jew possesses the potential to bring it out, to bring it to the fore. But you're dealing with a pre-existing inheritance that is embedded in your very substance. What is this love? V'hainu mashakos av hazayar al posuk nafshi ivisicha balayla v'goyim. This is what the Zayar says on the verse. My soul, I desire you at night. This is a posuk in Yeshaya chapter 26, verse 9. Posuk tes. That chapter, as it begins, is by Yoyim Ahu Yushar Hashir Hazeh Beretz Yehuda. On that day, the day of Mashiach, the day of salvation, the following song the prophet Yeshaya predicts will be sung in the land of Yehuda, in the land of Israel. And the chapter goes on to describe the nature of the song that the Jewish people will sing at that day. And part of that song is the Jew will say, Nafshi Yivisicha Balayla, Afruchi bekirbi ashachareka, which means literally, my soul, I longed for you, Hashem, during the night. Also, my spirit within me, I seek you out. Ashachareka. As you readily notice, the Zohar in Parshas Acharei Mois, Daf Samach Zayin and Samaches, points out that the verse is grammatically difficult to comprehend. What is the verse saying? Talking to Hashem. My soul, I longed for you, Hashem. Either you say, my soul longed for you, or you say, I longed for you. We're not saying I longed for my soul. He's saying, I longed for Hashem. So he's saying, Nafshi ivisicha balayla. My soul, I longed for you at night. either say, my soul longed for you, Hashem, at night, or I longed for you at night. But you're saying, my soul, I longed for you at night. The I seems superfluous, seems incorrect. In Hebrew, it should have said either nafshi ifsach balayla instead of ivisicha, or it should say ani ivisicha balayla. And the same is in the continuation of the verse. Afruchi bekirbi ashachareka. Also, the spirit within me, I seek you out. Either you should say, I also seek you out. Or say, also the spirit within me seeks you out. Afruchi yeshachareka. But the Pasuk doesn't say that. The Pasuk says, Afruchi ashachareka. Also the spirit within me, I seek you out. Vu kumtara in the eye here. That's the question the Zohar asks in Parshas Achri Mois on this verse in Yeshaya. Zog the Zohar, that the meaning, the true meaning in this verse is the Yarchim lekotcha brichu lechimusa de nafsha veruch. One ought to love Hashem with a love in which one loves the soul and the spirit. Kimad is dabku ilin begufa. For just as these, the soul and the spirit, attach themselves to the body, and the body therefore loves them, the soul and the spirit. This is then the meaning of nafshi visicha, my soul, I longed for you. So literally, what is the Zohar saying? That the reason Yeshaya doesn't say ani visicha, but rather nafshi visicha, it's because the love to Hashem has to be like the love the body experiences towards one's soul. But here the Alter Rebbe explains the true meaning of the words of the Zohar, which allows the words of Yeshaya to shine with a crystal-like clarity. Kelaimar, this means mipnei sha'ata Hashem. Nafshi v'chayei ha'mitim l'kachi v'sicha. This is the interpretation of the verse. Since you, Hashem, are my true soul and life, therefore I long for you, therefore I desire you. So what does nafshi v'sicha mean? Originally we interpreted it, nafshi, my soul, v'sicha, I longed for you. The Alter Rebbe says, no, the Zohar is telling us as follows. The Jew, in effect, is saying to Hashem, nafshi, since you are my soul, therefore, ivisich, I desire you. Ruchi bekirbi, since you are the spirit within me, therefore, ashacharek, I seek you out. The nafshi doesn't refer to the I. Nafshi, since you, Hashem, are my soul, so just like a body is absolutely in love with its soul that attaches itself to the body, therefore, since you're my soul and you're my true life, that creates and generates ivisicha that I long for you. Fine. Pirush, this means, this is to say, Shani Misave V'toiv Loch, I long and I yearn for you, Hashem, Ki Adam Misave L'chayei Nafshe, like a man who craves the life of his soul. And when he is weak and exhausted, he longs and he yearns that his soul return to him, that his soul should be revived in him. Likewise, when a person goes to sleep, he longs and he yearns for his soul to be restored to him when he awakens from his sleep. Kach, the same, ani misave v'toiv lo'irin soiv baruch. I long and yearn for the energy of the endless one, blessed be he, chaye hachayim ha'amitim, the true life of life. The true life of life. Nafshi visicha balayla, Yeshaya is saying. The Jew says, since you are my soul, since you are my real soul and my real life, the life of my life, therefore, visicha, I crave for you, I long for you, I yearn for you, just like a body, just like a human being, yearns and craves for his soul. Which becomes evident when he's weak or he's exhausted or he wants to go to sleep. He yearns for his soul, for his life. What is the Alter Rebbe saying? Everybody knows that the deepest, most powerful and greatest love and pleasure that a person has in this world, if you ask a person, what is the thing that gives you most pleasure in the world and that you love most? Everybody, upon reflection, will have the same answer. Life. I want to live. If somebody will offer you all the pleasures in the world, think for a moment, any pleasure you like, you need, you want, you crave for, whatever it may be, and a person offers it to you, plus, but they tell you you'll have all these pleasures, but right after that you're going to die. Will you accept any of it? No. Conversely, people undergo horrible pain and torture just to be able to continue to live. And this is a daily experience, unfortunately, tragically, of so many people who lay in hospitals or at home and undergo treatment or surgery or other kinds of medical procedures that can be extremely painful and can cause excruciating and ongoing pain, a pain that can continue for years and years and years. Why? So that they should be able to live. Every person is crazily in love with his life, beyond everything. We like many things in life. We love many things. But beyond it all, we are in love with our life, with the fact that we're alive, with the fact that we have a soul that's alive, that allows us to exist in this world. We are crazy about it. It's just naturally we don't feel it. We're not in touch with this love. Why? Because it exists. It's continuously part of us, and is in the famous expression, Tainuk Tmidiyeinei Tainuk, Chassidus explains, a continuous pleasure ceases to be felt as something pleasurable. But the Alter Rebbe says, when a person is weak, when a person is ill, when a person is exhausted, suddenly he discovers the craving to life, and he discovers its depth, and he realizes how it runs deeper than any other craving or pleasure in the world. And we see this practically. If right now we would stop and ask every single person sitting in this room, what do you want in your life? What are the pleasures and comforts? What do you love and what are you yearning for? I believe around here different people will have different answers. Everybody has their things. You know, one person wants more money, and one person wants a better job, and one person wants to get married, and one person wants a nicer home. And everybody has their baggage and their luggage and their issues, whether it's psychological, mental, spiritual, physical, important or not so important, but whatever it is. But that's only when life is more or less on track. And when we are more or less comfortable, we want all these different things. More specifically, if a person's life is basically good, it's basically fine. He still wants things. And you'll ask him, what do you want now? He'll find things that are incomplete. This detail, that element. But when somebody's very life is in danger, and then you come to him and you say, so what do you want now? Then he doesn't have the time or the focus or the energy to focus on any detail. He says, I want life. I just want to live. That's what I want. So this deep attachment and love we have to life becomes evident at a moment when it's missing, when it's lacking. And the same as Alter Rebbe says, when somebody goes to sleep. It's interesting that Alter Rebbe gives this example. When you're exhausted and you go to sleep, you want to go to sleep. Right? At that moment, you crave your bed. What are you craving? You want your soul back. Imagine you didn't sleep a night or two nights, and then finally comes the moment when you can lay down. You do it, Alter Rebbe. It's interesting, Alter Rebbe should give this example. You do it with a special geschmack, a special delight. What does the delight consist of? I'm getting back my soul. I'm getting back my strength. I'm getting back my energy. So the Alter Rebbe says, this is what the Jew is saying. Nafshi yivisicha balayla. Since I know, upon reflection, that the soul of my soul is Hashem, and the life of my life itself is Hashem, the godly energy, Eirin Seif Baruch Hu. So just like I crave my soul and I crave life, so naturally, the Alter Rebbe says, you are already in love with Hashem. Everybody is in love with God. We are in love with our soul, and thus we are automatically, instinctively in love with the soul of our soul. With Chayei HaChayim, with the life of life. So the Alter Rebbe says, and that creates the momentum and the yearning that you yearn for the true life of life. Lahamshichai bekirbi. To draw it within me, to draw it down to me. You want to know why he says Ein Sof? Because it's the energy that invigorates the soul. So again, the true life of life itself, to draw it forth within me, how? Through engaging in learning of Torah, when I awaken during the night from my sleep, for the Torah and the Holy Blessed, and the Holy One, blessed be He, are one and the same. As the Zohar says over there in Parshas Achareim Mois, right after this piece, the boy Barnash merichimusa de kuchabrichu, a person ought, out of his love towards Hashem, lemeikem b'chol laila, to rise each night, lishtadola b'pulchone atzafrechuli, and exert himself in the service of Hashem until the morning. Out of the love for Hashem, a person ought to arise in the middle of the night and serve Hashem, learn, and so on and so forth till the morning. And this is nafshi yivisicha balayla. By night, I crave you because you are my soul. Just like when I go to sleep at night. I am craving, and I am in love with it. What am I looking forward to? That my soul should return to me, that my spirit should return to me, I should be reinvigorated, and so forth. So when the Jew goes to sleep at night, during the day, he serves Hashem in many ways. But when he goes to sleep at night, apparently this is what Alter Rebbe is saying. So he lacks that relationship with the soul of souls, with the life of life. So nafshi v'sicha b'layla, since you're my soul, I crave you at night. So naturally, out of love, I jump out of bed And I run to the Torah, I run to the Gemara, I run to the other book of Torah, because I need my soul, I want my soul. It was gone for a few hours. So the Jew, you know, a few hours he can sleep, but then that's it, he can't take it anymore. I want my soul back. I'm exhausted, I'm tired, I'm sick without it. So he naturally goes, and that's the meaning in the continuation of the Zayah. Since nafshi v'sicha balayla, so out of love, he wakes up until the morning, he learns and he serves Hashem. And this is generally, this love that Alter Rebbe defines exists in the soul of every Jew, and has within it something of all of the levels of Avarab and all of the levels of Avasoil. And the emphasis is at night. Since you are my soul, I crave you during the night. When there is night, when there is a lack, when there is darkness, when I don't feel my soul, when it's detached from me, that's when I crave it. And that's when the Jew feels a deeper love and a deeper craving to godliness. Because it's a soul and he doesn't want to be detached from life. So when you realize what is life, what is my soul, what is in my soul? Godliness. That's what invigorates it at every moment. That is its true essence. That's Chayei HaChaim. You realize you're naturally in love with it. I think this can be applied very readily to something that's quite evident in today's world. That people, perhaps today more than ever, they even say, have a lot of prosperity, thank God. We have a lot, unlike our Zaydas and Babas. And nonetheless, maybe more than ever, or not more than ever, but plenty, people all over the globe feel that they lack fulfillment, an inner contentment, an inner happiness. And people read and go to lectures and classes and are interested in inquiring, I just want fulfillment in my life. You know, I have everything, or a lot of what I need, but a certain inner sense of serenity, of contentment, of deeper fulfillment is lacking. And this is the nafshi v'sicha balayla. The soul of our soul is godliness. When we don't have godliness in our life, we lack our soul. We might not like our psyche, or our spirit, our consciousness that invigorates us, but the consciousness that's within that, the godliness, if we're not in touch with that, we crave it, and we crave it like life itself. It's not about a detail, it's about having the essence. So therefore the Zayar says, naturally the Jew jumps out of bed and starts learning. There is a book that's called Beis Rebbe. It contains the biography of the Alter Rebbe. It's a very, how should I say it, a very juicy book. It was authored by a man named Rabbi Hillman, who was authored in the early 1900s. He describes what he heard from one of the grandchildren of the Alter Rebbe's schedule. You know the Alter Rebbe's personal schedule? I'll share it with you. Alter Rebbe, would wake up every evening at 9 o'clock p.m. One second. 9 o'clock p.m., the Alter Rebbe would wake up. And he would learn straight till 6 in the morning. In his room, he would learn on his own. He wouldn't come out of his room from 9 till 6. 9 hours straight. 6 in the morning, he would start his preparations for davening. The Alter Rebbe would daven every morning for 2 hours. Usually it lasted 2 hours. Till Baruch Sha'amar was a half an hour. From Baruch Sha'amar till after Shemona Esrei was an hour. And the last part of davening was another half an hour. It was 2 hours. The Alter Rebbe would finish davening around 9 o'clock. And then the Alter Rebbe would continue learning in the same room straight until 2 o'clock. At 2 o'clock was the first time he opened his door. And Alter Rebbe would then take a drink. He would usually drink a cup of coffee. After that, the Alter Rebbe would start seeing people. And the people who came to visit him. People who came to seek counsel, advice, all the various questions and issues. That was after 2 o'clock. The Alter Rebbe would then also take care of whatever he had to take care of in other elements outside of his learning and his personal service of Hashem and his writings, which were all done in the other hours. Then the Alter Rebbe would daven mincha. After mincha, the Alter Rebbe would eat that which was his only meal during the day. He would eat kasha, a little bit of kasha. And 6 o'clock, the Alter Rebbe usually would go to rest. He'd go to rest, and he was up at 9, and that was the schedule. And the only exception was Shabbos and Yom Tov. That was the exception. There, the schedule was different as well. The meals were obviously different. But normally, under normal circumstances, this was the Alter Rebbe's schedule. So in any case, this is the love called Nafshi Visicha that he says exists within every single Jew and identically within every single Jew. Because there are elements that inspire one person that will not inspire other people. You know, some people are in love with a certain plant. You show them a certain flower or a certain rose and they go crazy from it. Other people, this rose is meaningless to them. But the soul, your life, that everybody goes crazy about. The love of life, that's identical within every single person. So the Alter Rebbe says that this love encompasses Ava Rabba as well as Ava Soila. And perhaps we can understand why. It has in it the dimension of Ava Rabba in the sense that it touches you in your core being. It touches you in your core essence. It's not generated by your rationale, and you don't remain detached from the object you're in love with. It also comes from above. It's an inheritance. It comes from Hashem, and it touches you, and it consumes your core. Our love towards our life is a love that engulfs our very essence. On the other hand, unlike Ava Rabba, where a person dissolves in ecstasy, over here you're not going to say a person dissolves. It's similar to Ava Soilam in the sense that it involves a person's individual identity. There is a rational basis and explanation for the love. I'm in love with my soul. I'm in love with my life. It doesn't overwhelm identity. That individuality becomes consumed and is engaged within the love experience. Zogt Alter Rebbe, v'ava rabba v'gdoila mizu. Now there's a greater and more intense love than this. Which is also concealed in every soul of Israel as an inheritance from our ancestors. And it's greater even than this love. Now it's interesting to note that concerning the former love described as Nafshi Yivisicha, he said, it's identical by every soul and it's an inheritance. Here he doesn't say it's identical and he says it's concealed. And the difference is obvious. This is a much greater love, a much deeper love, and therefore its concealment is much deeper and it's more difficult to access, as we shall see, even though it's also an inheritance. He, Mashakas of Raya Mehemna, this is the love described in Raya Mehemna. Raya Mehemna means the faithful shepherd. There are sections in the Zohar, the fundamental, foundational Kabbalistic text, in which Moshe Rabbeinu's soul communicated the secrets of Kabbalah to Reb Shimon ben Yochai and his colleagues who were through the Zohar. And those sections were transcribed called Raya Mehemna. In Raya Mehemna, in Zohar Parshas Kisetzi, and the Alter Rebbe quoted this already in chapter 41 at length, even in chapter 10, he describes there the love of Kibrod Ishtadl Basarav Ivimai, like a son, like a child who strives for the sake of his father and mother. Derochim Loin Yatir Migarmei V'Navshe V'Ruchei Chuli, whom he loves even more than his own body, more than his own soul, and more than his own spirit. For have we not all one Father? Quoting the famous pasuk in Malachi chapter 2, where the prophet rebukes, totally another context, the Jewish people who betrayed their Jewish wives and married. You remember that verse of Malachi?
Have we not all one Father? Have not one God created
them? Exactly. Malachi says they betrayed their wives and they married the wives of other nations. He says, Aloyav echad lukilanu, have we not all one father? Alekel echad baranu, hasn't one God created us? Madua nivgat ish ba'achiv l'chalal brisaviseinu, why should we betray each one of us, his fellow brother, to desecrate the covenant of our patriarchs? So the Alter Rebbe quotes, "Halayav echad l'kulanu," and thus the feeling Moshe Rabbeinu describes there that a child has towards a parent, where you're ready to give everything up for your father and your mother and sacrifice your own soul, your own body, your own spirit, even though your identity will be lost there. This every single Jew has, because we all have one father. And this is a much deeper love than the love of Nafshi Yivisich. The previous love that's concealed in the soul of every Jew is, since Hashem is the life of my life, I crave life, I'm in love with life, I'm naturally in love with Hashem, but it's my life. That's what I'm in love with. Here it's a deeper level of love, where you're ready to give up your life, your identity, your soul, your spirit, for the sake of your mother and your father. Or conversely, we see what a parent is ready to give up for a child. It's not a love in which you will find your life and find your soul. It's a love in which you're ready to give everything up, but that my father, my mother, should be able to experience the light, should be able to experience life. And the same is true, a feeling that a parent has towards a child. And this desire describes there that Moshe Rabbeinu stood up and he cried. And he said, God Almighty, I wish, I crave you would consider me like a child, that all my activities for the Shekhinah, for the Divine Presence, should be like a child who strives for the sake of his father and mother and loves them more than he loves his own life and own soul and is ready to give everything up for it. And at that moment, the Zohar describes, Hashem himself came and kissed Moshe Rabbeinu. And he said, Raya Mehemna, faithful shepherd, indeed you are my child. And everybody sitting there, Reb Shimon ben Yochai, Eliyahu Hanavi, a nice assembly of Jews, stood up and they all kissed Moshe Rabbeinu. The commentators of the Zohar explain what it means, the kiss that Hashem gave him. It means there was a whole new type of relationship. A relationship that is symbolized in the metaphor of a kiss. And this is a deeper love. It's not a love in which I seek self-actualization, in which I seek my life. It's a love in which I seek you. I want your desire should be fulfilled, even though I will not discover myself within that. Zog Dal Ter Rebbe, Va'af ki mi hu ze ve'ezehu, asher or av liboy, lo geshes, lahasig afilu chelok echad mini olaf mi madregis avas raya mehemna. You see his words. And although one may ask, who is the man and where is he, who would dare even presume in his heart to approach and attain even a thousandth part of the degree of love felt by the faithful shepherd Moshe Rabbeinu? that we are saying this is embedded in every Jew, and each Jew can actualize this type of love towards Hashem. Mikol Mokim, nevertheless, Hare Efes Kotseyu Veshemetz Mineyu, a minute portion and a minute particle, Meirav Tuvayva Oirei, of Moshe Rabbeinu's great goodness and light, Meir L'Klolus Yisrael B'chol Dor V'Dor, illuminates the entire community of the Jewish people in each generation, K'moshe Kosuv B'Tikunim, as it's stated in the Tikunim, in Tikun Zoyar, in Tikun 69, a part of it quoted also in chapter 42, the Ispashtus B'chol Dor V'Dor, that an emanation from Moshe is present in every generation, lan haroloin v'chuli, to illuminate them and so on and so forth. And therefore every Jew can experience through hard toil and work a minute portion, a ephes katseyu, something, an iota, a particle of the goodness and of the light and of the spirituality of Moshe Rabbeinu, including this love described there in Raya Mehemna. An example of this type of love can perhaps be the story the Baal Shem Tov said about the violinist and the king. That can serve as an example for this level of love. You're asking, when Alter Rebbe discussed in Tanya that at a moment of truth, many a Jew have been ready to give up their very life and die not to be separated from Hashem, this, I would imagine, would go into the category even of the first level of Nafshi Yivisicha. Because by the Jew, the deepest definition of his self-identity was Hashem. And every other definition of self that we usually define ourselves by, in the moment when he was threatened to be torn away from Hashem's reality, all other considerations and all other definitions of self vanished and were reduced to nothingness. And his deepest self emerged, and his deepest self is Chayei HaChayim, the life of his life, which is Hashem. So I would imagine. The second level is when you're not ultimately looking for, I'm not looking for my life, even for my ultimate life, which is Hashem, but that's the life, the real life of my life. I find myself there, so to speak. I find myself by losing my physical self, my psychological self, but that's real life. Here there's a deeper level where it's not even about me anymore. It's not because this is my life. I want my father and my mother should have life. We explained this more at length in chapter 10 and chapter 41. With the various stories you're mentioning, we discussed then, with the mikveh. I want to share with you a story of a conversation between Reb Chaim Soloveitchik and the Rebbe Rashab about this issue. We discussed this in chapter 10 of 41, with Alter Rebbe discussed at this level even more at length. Now, I want to conclude here with what I believe is important to emphasize as we are going through these chapters. As some of you mentioned to me in previous weeks, and I'm sure it's quite obvious to those who are studying the chapters and reviewing them, beginning from chapter 41, the Alter Rebbe's style